You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haugh and Dan Weider.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haugh from 6-7 Sports, Mully and Haugh Show. Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune is down at the Orlando meetings for NFL owners, and it was a busy day down in Florida as we sit here right now. All of the head coaches posed for their annual photo. And also we heard from the general manager, Ryan Poles. We'll hear from Matt Eberflus, I believe, on Tuesday. And we'll also hear from George McCaskey, possibly Kevin Warren, on Tuesday because there's some big stadium issues. But before we get to all that, we have some things to say about what Ryan Poles revealed as far as the latest in the vetting process of Caleb Williams, the trade of Justin Fields, his first comments since trading the Bears' former quarterback to the Steelers, as well as some other tidbits on Keenan Allen and what's ahead for the Bears in terms of remaining pro days. So you can listen to the Take the North podcast, of course, on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch us on 670 Scores YouTube page, and you can download, listen, and subscribe. Just let us know what you think about the feedback. I'm going to give you some thoughts on what Ryan Poles said today, and then we're going to include an interview of Dan Weiderer on the Bernstein and Holmes show on Monday from Florida, live from the owners' meetings, and then we'll go day by day depending on how news breaks. But the biggest information in terms of the as far as the Bears are concerned was Ryan Poles talking about trading Justin Fields and how difficult of a process that was for him. Said he had to go over to Matt Eberflus's house before he broke the news to Justin Fields. They wanted to do it in person. Not in person, but they wanted to do it in tandem because obviously this was big news that weighed heavily on the Bears coaching staff, on the Bears front office. We know how popular Justin Fields was in the city of Chicago and among Bears fans everywhere. And Ryan Poles knew that definitely this was going to be something he needed to handle delicately. So to his credit, he explained how they called some chosen veterans who were close with Justin Fields, guys like Cole Kmet, guys who were on the field when Justin Fields was leading them down the field. And I think that was, you know, indicative of just how important they realized Justin Fields was to the leadership structure of this team. He also referenced that this was one of the harder things he had to do as a general manager because it was his son's favorite player. His son Mason, I believe, is about 10. And when you have the jersey of his favorite Bear on the wall of his bedroom, and that's the player you're trading, it's tough for a dad, regardless of your role and regardless of how much you know it's the right thing to do. So this was a situation that Ryan Poles felt like it was hard emotionally, hard from standpoint of from a relationship standpoint, but it was the right thing for the Bears, even though he didn't necessarily get what he wanted in return. He said he was surprised about the market not being as robust as expected. But in the end, frankly, the way I looked at it was the Bears placed closure over compensation. It was more important for them to move on than it was for them to hold out for more in the way of draft pick. You can quibble with that. You can look at draft capital as being the most important thing in this regime, but I do think I understand where Ryan Poles was come from. It was time to move on. What that allowed the Bears to do was to close the chapter of Justin Fields' three seasons in Chicago and to look ahead at what would be his replacement, and that is the pursuit of Caleb Williams. Now, Caleb Williams, obviously, we talked about last week. He looked great at his pro day. He did all the right things. He said all the right things. And not only did he do so in front of everybody at USC's practice facility, but apparently behind closed doors, he impressed the Bears as well. One of the things that Ryan Poles addressed on Monday morning in Florida was how during the interview, it was something that stood out to people in the room. He realized later, Caleb Williams didn't look at his phone, didn't do anything with his phone. And for people of athletes of the NIL era, athletes who grew up with a cell phone kind of attached to their wrist, essentially, an extension of their hand, that's no small thing. It certainly resonated with Bears brass. It certainly made an impression on Ryan Poles. And it certainly spoke to the maturity that Poles referenced when talking about what he got out of that meeting with Caleb Williams when they were out to dinner, when they were meeting in the facility on Tuesday, when they're going to the whiteboard. But especially during that dinner, Caleb Williams off his phone made an impression with Ryan Poles. And that's no small thing. The one thing that Poles also said was in all the people that he has talked to about Caleb Williams, from Cliff Kingsbury to teammates to former teachers probably, it's hard to find anybody who doesn't like him, maybe even doesn't love him. So there's nobody that he's run into that has said, okay, this is going to be a problem. And that might come as a surprise to some Bears fans or some observers who were expecting there to be maybe some red flags with Caleb Williams because of all that we have heard, because of all the noise that has been created, whether it was his father's interview last summer or some of the speculation surrounding the fact that he wanted to have a piece of ownership or he wasn't going to go to Chicago, or we've heard it all. And you know what it sounds like? All of it was pure speculation. It was pure hearsay. It was nothing that was based in fact. It was everything that was based in speculation. So I think Ryan Poles went a long way toward dispelling some of that and squelching some of that. And so where we are now is Caleb Williams scheduled to arrive at Hallis Hall for his personal visit the first week in April. That's next week, folks. That's next week. So it was coming right up. What he will do then is obviously reacquaint himself with the Bears personnel, get a good feel for Hallis Hall, maybe meet some other people in the organization. I don't know if it will be teammates, or I doubt that it would go that far, but he also, the most important thing will be that he will have his physical conducted. And so any red flags that you're worried about will be addressed, ruled out, and the Bears can finally maybe breathe a sigh of relief if he passes the physical and he seems to have passed a lot of the background checks that they put him through, the vetting process, if you will. And then it's just a matter of time before they hand in the card on draft night, April 25th in Detroit, and say the Bears, with the first selection of the 2024 NFL draft, take Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. It's 1 month from tonight as we sit here right now, March 25th. It's 30 days. And you look at 31, I suppose. It's 1 month from tonight, and Caleb Williams still looks like the odds-on favorite, heavy odds-on favorite, to be the number one overall selection for the Bears. A couple other interesting things that Ryan Poles said when he met with the Bears media and the national media down in Orlando at the owners' meetings on Monday morning. Keenan Allen. He explained how Keenan Allen maybe not just fell into the Bears' lap, but they took advantage of the fact that they knew the Chargers were going to have salary cap cuts and casualties. They began the process by looking into Mike Williams. There were some injury concerns with Mike Williams, who ended up going to the Jets. But Keenan Allen is a better option, I think, for the Bears, and good for Ryan Poles to pivot and to go in the direction of giving up a fourth round draft pick for a guy who sure is going to cost a lot of money, $23 million. That's a lot of dough. But that's what number one wide receivers get in today's NFL marketplace. And Poles talked about the value that Allen brings to a young quarterback. Nobody gets open in the league as consistently as Keenan Allen, especially on third down. He's a quarterback's best friend, and it'd be hard to find three or four or five receivers any more crafty or resourceful than Keenan Allen, and that will be an asset for Caleb Williams as he moves forward. So obviously, whether or not that becomes he becomes somebody eligible for a contract extension, that will be determined. But Ryan Poles left that door open on Monday morning. He said, obviously, this is somebody that you could see establishing a long-term relationship with if he's interested and if things work out. It is early in the process. Heck, he's just been here long enough to show up a pro day in Bears gear. So there'll be plenty of time for negotiating, but it does seem like it's a good fit. And I think that will only become more obvious as he pairs with DJ Moore, who both of them combined for over 200 catches last year, 2,600 yards, 15 touchdowns, one of the top five receiving tandems in the NFL right now. So there's a lot to look forward to. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, obviously Poles pointed that out as well. It was a matter of economics and leaning into the rookie contract and what that affords a team. Certainly was one of the reasons as well that it made it a little bit easier to move on from Justin Fields. It's just a financial equation, and people can respect that. Other rookies who might be under consideration for the Bears, guys like Jaden Daniels, guys like Drake May, guys like J.J. McCarthy. Bears were in attendance at J.J. McCarthy's pro day last Friday in Michigan, Ann Arbor, where Jim Harbaugh said he's never seen a quarterback have a better pro day. I don't know what that will have, if that will have any effect on the Bears, but they were there to obviously see J.J. McCarthy and a lot of other Michigan prospects. Michigan has 18, I think, draftable athletes, seniors, and that's something that falls under the category of due diligence. It was more than just J.J. McCarthy that brought the Bears to Ann Arbor. Likewise, it will be Ryan Poles going to LSU a day after the owners' meetings convene break up, and he'll go to Baton Rouge to see Jaden Daniels' pro day, and that will be something Ryan Poles will attend, but he will not attend Drake May's pro day in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Kerry Joseph, the quarterback's coach, will attend that. Interesting, you could read into some decisions if you wish, but I think it's a moot point anyway. It's going to be Caleb Williams. Certainly looks that way, barring any unforeseen circumstances or big red flags found on the physical. What you have to keep in mind as well is the LSU Pro Day is something that you want the Bears general manager at as well because of the other prospects. You've got the Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers, the wide receiving core in tandem that is going to be Nabers could be a top 10 pick, could be a top 5 pick, depending on who you talk to. And Thomas, I think, is somebody you look at as could be bottom of the first round, maybe sneak into the second round, but still NFL caliber wide receivers. And Brian Kelly's team has a ton of talent, so that's why you go to Baton Rouge. So that will be the pro day plan before the Bears come back to Halas Hall and get ready to host Caleb Williams next week after Easter wraps up on Sunday, and they get to start to look ahead and plan for the draft. A couple other little things. The NFL Rules Committee met, and they banned the hip drop tackle, which is something that will ideally prevent injury. It's going to be difficult to enforce, but it's something to keep an eye on. And teams are now allowed a third challenge. If you get one of your first two correct, teams are now will be allowed a third challenge, which is going to change the coaching dynamic and a lot of the coaching metrics. So keep an eye on that. They will apparently still discuss changes to the kickoff rule, but Rich McKay, the chairman, I think, of the Rules Committee, invoked the experiences of Devin Hester, why the importance of the kickoff remains something they want to preserve. Because when you have a guy like a Hall of Famer that Devin Hester is, you want to make sure that you have as many plays like that as possible in each and every game. Last bit of information or news that was kind of interesting for people who are Bears fans following the path of Justin Fields from Chicago to Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin talked. And certainly Mike Tomlin is high on Justin Fields. I'm very curious to see if the Steelers end up trying to utilize Fields in a variety of ways rather than just as a quarterback. Is he going to be Antoine Randall? Is he going to be slash part two and reprise the Cordell Stewart role of over 20 years ago? What will they do with Justin Fields? It sounds like he is the backup, Russell Wilson, the proclaimed and presumed starter. But you also heard from Mike Tomlin, who said that there's a lot of meat on that bone. That's a direct quote, a lot of meat on that bone when it comes to Justin Fields. What is ahead for the Bears' exiled former starting quarterback? Could he replace Russell Wilson? When will he replace Russell Wilson? Mully, my partner in the morning show, Mully and Haw, and I have a little friendly wager that it won't be. Mully thinks it's going to be white by week six, and I don't think they're going to give up on Russell Wilson that quickly. You may have your own opinions. Let us know on Twitter. You can send us a mailbag item, but I think it's going to be difficult for Justin Fields to supplant Russell Wilson if Russell Wilson can reclaim some of the form and surrounded by better talent and a better team and coaching staff than he was in Denver. In Denver, yeah, Sean Payton's a genius, but they were working against each other. I don't know if that'll be the case with Mike Tomlin. I think that Mike Tomlin is probably a more easily guy. It's an easier guy to respect, I think, if you're Russell Wilson. So I think that'll be something to keep an eye on. And certainly it's important to the Bears and the Bears organization because Justin Fields plays 51% of the snaps. That sixth-round draft pick in 2025 becomes a fourth-round draft pick in 2025. So you need all that draft capital you can use. And that's worth keeping an eye on over in Pittsburgh. So the owners' meeting's underway on Tuesday. We plan to hear from George McCaskey and Kevin Warren about Kevin Warren's meeting last Thursday night with the Friends of the Parks, plans for the Chicago Lakefront Stadium, the Dome, which they remain committed to trying and fixated on and focused on, as according to Kevin Warren and the reports of that meeting with Friends of the Parks. We'll see, because the Arlington Heights compromise last week seemed to have changed things in the eyes of some, but the Bears remain hard and fast in their contention that they are still focused primarily on the lakefront property, and Arlington Heights has taken a backseat, at least for now. That could be a leverage play. We'll find out what Kevin Warren and Jordan McCaskey have to say on Tuesday down at the NFL owners meetings in Florida. And we'll also maybe find out more details about the Bears game in London in the 2024 season. Caleb Williams hits London. That will be worth our attention, certainly. So we'll get some more details. A lot of ground to cover. Just kind of trying to keep up with all that's going on. It's been a fascinating offseason so far. We really appreciate you following as much as possible here on the Take the North podcast. Dan is at the owners' meetings, so that's why I'm solo kind of covering this ground and trying to get through as much of it as possible. But Dan Wiederer did join the Bernstein and Holmes show on Monday middays 10 to 2 on 670 Score. Check it out on your Odyssey app. But Dan Wiederer did check in with Dan and Lawrence, and this is how that interview went down.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You heard Ryan Poles speak. More, I think, openness and honesty from him that really has done a lot to continue to confirm what has been reported by you and Brad Biggs and the Tribune and others for a long time here. This has been what it's been.
Yeah, it's a march that's leading up to April 25th, and barring something that is completely unforeseen, the Bears will turn in that card as the team to select first in the draft, and they'll unite with Caleb Williams, you know, and on will march. I think it's a very unique situation to be in, where you are picking first and you don't have to hide your cards, and you can be a little bit more honest and transparent and candid. And certainly the Bears are doing that. Ryan is naturally wired that way, and I think we heard some of that this morning.
How do you think the Bears will go about talking about expectations for this season? Because it is a strange position for them to be in. A team that on the surface, should be in a position to be competitive next year. But you do have a rookie quarterback, and as good as Caleb is, we do need to look at the precedent of rookie quarterbacks and them usually struggling. So how do you see them kind of threading the needle on what the team is supposed to be while being fair to Caleb?
Yeah, it's a fair question, Lawrence, and I think you used a good phrase there, threading the needle, because I think it is going to be a little bit of a thread. And I had a chance to visit with Ryan one-on-one for something I'm working on for April, and one of the direct questions I asked him was about setting, managing, and messaging expectations, right, as we cross over into this new world. And I think he has a very kind of mature outlook on the whole situation, understanding that, yes, we have a roster that we feel really, really good about right now that can compete in a lot of ways, but we have to be willing to absorb some of the growing pains that a young quarterback is going to go through on his way towards stardom, which is the ultimate goal here, is to have this number one pick, choose a quarterback, and then develop him into a star where you can compete every single year. And so I think part of that process is being able to do that messaging both internally and externally, so the world understands what phase you're in. And so I think they're going to have to be fluid with that. I think they're going to have to evolve with that. But I do think that's going to have to be on the front burner for them as they try to get just realistic expectations established, again, both internally and externally, because you guys know how much some of that external pressure can infiltrate the building and create some different dynamics and pressure.
So now that you've got the quarterback stuff seemingly in place, what did Ryan Poles have to say about their decision to bring in Keenan Allen?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because I think that there was just a sense that he mentioned Keenan Allen and Kevin Byard as two guys that struck him as multipliers, as guys that obviously are really good and really proven in this league, but have the opportunity to make those around them better also. We saw it last year with Montez Sweat, how his production multiplied the guys around him. And I think they envision similar things with Keenan Allen, particularly as that sort of go-to comfort blanket for a young quarterback. And so that was a surprise kind of that popped up on their radar. They were kind of operating down different avenues to bolster the receiving core. And when the Chargers obviously had to make some of the moves that they had to make, within hours, Ryan had to pivot and say, okay, this is a direction that we want to go. And we have the ability to go get it done at a price that makes sense for us. It's interesting because some of the background reporting on this, it became apparent that the Bears were actually interested in Mike Williams out in LA and were ultimately trying to get some more information on his recovery from the injury late last year. And then all of a sudden you get, as Ryan describes it, a curveball where Keenan Allen becomes available and you have to have those internal discussions. Okay, do we want to come off the road we're on and go down this road? That's just what they did. And they feel like, and Ryan said, look, like Keenan Allen, you know, tortured the Chiefs for the years that he was in the AFC West with the Chiefs. And the film from last year showed a player that hasn't lost much, if anything, even as he gets older and onward in his career.
I'm fascinated by the twin channels on which things are operating publicly here. And you would know better than we the internal communication that is occurring with important players on the roster. Yeah. Because when you bring in stars, things start to matter a little bit more. Yep. You can't just dictate from the top, here's what we're doing, here's what we're doing, and then convene everybody for minicamp and say, let's go. There has to be communication. Keenan Allen wants to know what's going on. I'm sure Montez Sweat and Tremaine Edmonds want to know what's going on. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. So yeah. What do you know about how what seems to us from the outside to be very sensible, matter-of-fact moves, how the diplomacy is working on multiple channels?
Again, I think it's just a nice touch, and it's part of a leadership approach and philosophy that Ryan has to some extent that Kevin has, and just being able to make sure that there aren't questions that are going unanswered, make sure that there aren't concerns that aren't being addressed, and just being able to have that forward approach to, you know, doing the business, then explaining the business and making sure the key people that you're counting on to be sort of the cornerstones of this next phase of your building process understand what you're trying to do. I think it's, again, it's a touch and it creates trust, and trust usually creates a positive, healthy environment that helps get you through some difficult times as well. And so I think they've done a nice job of that, to be honest. And there's across several levels here, you know, as you're talking to different pieces of the Bears brain trust, you just have a feeling like they're in good hands right now. And it's kind of just a sense and a gut feeling, but it just feels like everything they're doing is thoughtful. It's intentional and it's with, purpose. And I think Bears fans should be excited about that because we are potentially entering into a phase here that's going to be brighter than any phase certainly that I've covered, and hopefully brighter than any that Chicago's experienced for a quarter century or longer.
I know you don't cover Justin Fields anymore, nor do you cover the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you were drawing up a way for Justin Fields specifically to win this job, how would you say he has to go about it to win it?
It's a good question, and I wasn't able to be part of the scrum that was with Mike Tomlin this morning at the coach's breakfast. I was off doing another side interview. But I think that, Justin has to go into Pittsburgh immersed in what they want him to be as a quarterback and very understanding of the things that presented difficulty for him during his three seasons with the Bears. And so it's just, showing greater growth than you showed in Chicago with your ability to play from within the pocket, continuing that upward climb that we saw at the end of last year and being an on the move passer instead of just an on the move runner, continuing to invest in the things that get you the easy completions that help your team be in situations that make it matter. It's going to be interesting how they set up the reps and how they oversee that entire thing in Pittsburgh. Yep. And we'll see what Mike has in store. Because certainly it would benefit the Bears reps, if Justin got on the field soon.
Reps. That's going to tell us everything.
Yeah, and I want to see him in I feel like the Arthur Smith offense is a really interesting fit for Justin, but there's so much stuff under center that I wonder if that's another adjustment he's going to have to make.
It is, no question. He was going to have to do that in whatever offense he went to because, listen, there's a book around the league that Justin wasn't going to be a great fit for the version of the Shanahan McVay style offense that the Bears are going to run, that they tried running for the last 2 years, that a lot of teams around the league are running. And it's part of the reasons why the market on Justin, earlier in the month was as quiet as it was, because there's just a sense that he's got to find a better fit for him. Maybe Pittsburgh is it. Maybe Arthur Smith gets his hands on him and says, okay, we can take the wonderful gifts you have and accentuate them while also helping to bring you along in ways that you haven't been brought along yet. And maybe that's his track to reaching a higher level of play than he was able to with the Bears. But certainly that's something that I think all of us will have our eyes on through our peripheral vision as the season begins.
I'm interested in the way Caleb Williams is timing the conduct of his business right now, because that matters and it tells us a lot. As we get closer to the fait accompli of him being Bears quarterback, we know that old school guys, Dan, are like, well, as a rookie, you can't be out there endorsing everything and you can't be out there cashing all these checks, which I don't necessarily think is true. I don't really buy that. We know Justin Fields took a little time to get his deals going with energy drink and with Dunkin' Donuts, but I don't think that Caleb Williams should do. I think his representatives right now should be in meetings talking to Chicago-based companies and looking at national companies for the number three market and what matters right now. How do the Bears feel? How old school are they in that thinking? How do they feel about the impression it would make if he came in here like $1 billion?
I don't think they're worried about the impression as much as they just want to make sure that the football remains the football. And I think that there's by most people in the league and outside the league, a underestimation of how much it takes to play the quarterback position at even a middle tier level in the NFL. And so you just have to be aware of the time commitment and the stamina and the energy and sort of the mental fuel tank you need to have to be able to do that every day throughout the duration of your time in season, and that's going to start during the offseason program. There'll be a little bit of a break, then training camp. All of those things require a high volume of attention. So you have to be able to manage that personally, and you have to have a team around you that understands how to manage that and helps set you up for success. I've had conversations with people that were in Carolina when Cam was drafted, and Cam had opportunities very early. He played very well as a rookie. And it was just, okay, sometimes you need to have the business side of you married up with the football side of you. And it can be complicated because the people in your marketing team don't really care about the film you've got to watch on your iPad at night. They don't. They want to get you to your next marketing opportunity. And you have to tell them, look, like, I get it. This is a great opportunity, but I also need to watch my iPad from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. or whatever it may be in your routine. So that's just something that's going to be a constant management for the, you know, Team Caleb and Team Chicago Bears as they kind of marry those two things together.
What do you think of the rule changes?
Well, the two this morning that have caught my attention, obviously the replay challenge is an interesting one where now you just need to get one of your first two right to get a third. So that, I like that one.
Because why not give unlimited challenges to people who keep getting it right?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you keep getting screwed, you may as well get another one in your
right.
back pocket.
But, yeah, but get it right.
At least we've taken a step in the right direction where you can get a third by getting just one right. And then the hip drop tackle is something that, you know, that'll be a good one to dive down with Matt Eberflus tomorrow at the coach's breakfast for the NFC. Just as a, you know, a former linebacker, a defensive coach, and just trying to figure out how you kind of reteach guys and make sure they know the rules and adjust quickly so that you eliminate that from your game as the league is trying to eliminate injuries from its game.
So like the hip drop is now illegal, but you can still do the hip swivel tackle, right? Like that, like it's getting so
right. It's going to be a gray area,
right?
For sure. And we're going to have to let you know when the officials come to training camp to talk to the players, and then by extension the media in August. You know, you're just going to have to watch those videos and see the this is a red X and this is a green light, and you know, and try to get a feel for it, and so the players can adapt in that regard.
I am disappointed in Matt Eberflus. Here he
is, as per usual.
Well, no, but look, this guy had a makeover, and he's looking better than we've ever seen him look as Bears head coach. He's got the beard, everything. He's been and his wife sort of redid him because she realized, look, here's a way that you can look less dumb. And then he misses the NFL coach's photo. He can't miss the photo. You're on top
you
of your game right now, man.
Literally, here's my notebook. You guys can't see it that well, but I'll show it up. One of the questions I have on my list for tomorrow morning is, what happened? Why weren't you at the coach's photo? The coach's photo was originally supposed to be today, but it got switched to yesterday sometime in the middle of the process, and Matt obviously didn't get the word in time to get down there for it. It's one of those things. You guys can relate to this. Clearly, someone just spoke up and said, why are we going to do it tomorrow? Why don't we just do it now? You know, these things happen all the time at these league meetings where someone gets impatient and stubborn and changes schedule, and then someone gets left out. And Matt, with his great hair and his new beard and all the things that are going in the right direction, was left out of that photo, and now we're just left to feel poorly that we weren't able to have that participation in such an iconic photo that is taken annually here at these meetings.
I think it was a hater. I think you have to start looking at guys like, you know, the Sean McVay, you know, like the handsome guys, and being like, they didn't want Zaddy Eberflus to run in there and kind of mess things up for them.
Well, you always get Sean and Matt LaFleur and Kyle. They're always right next to each other in that photo. And so those guys, yeah, they're starting to feel threatened a little bit by Flus's on the move charge up the style rink.
Maybe LaFleur is like, oh, you know what? I can't deal with this guy that's having vodka tonics and looking this good. You know, we're out here watching basketball games. I can't deal with the heat.
I wish somebody would always sit in the same place, like in the same spot. Like maybe Andy Reid would be the perfect guy, because we used to do this years ago. The old when back in the days of media guides, the Phoenix Suns, we used to have fun with this. The Phoenix Suns, their longtime trainer, a guy named Joe Prosky. He looked a little bit like who's the painter with the afro, the white guy?
Bob Ross.
He looked a little like Bob Ross, and apparently, like, Joe Prosky was a guy who invented Flexol.
Oh.
And he was, for the moment that the Suns were an expansion team, he always sat in the same. So if you did a flip book with their media guide, you could watch Joe Prosky age at triple speed. I need that for this. I need all of these longtime coaches to be in the same spots. And then you could do the flip book trick. And, you know, Andy Reid, they're just going to have the Hawaiian shirt that's going to change every year. Everybody's hair gets a little thinner. They start to droop a little bit. They take the fun out of it by moving around.
Yeah, well, but the other part of this, Dan, is that there's not a lot of guys that stick around.
I know. There's too much turnover.
So, right. Like, so this is the first year that I've covered the league where there was no Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll around,
right.
You know, for that. And then, you know, I'll be honest with you. I was on Google last night. There were like three or four guys in that photo where I'm like, who is that again? And you're trying to, place some of these new guys that have gotten jobs like, oh yeah, that's, you know, and so that turnover is real and it comes quickly for a lot of guys. And so there aren't a lot of long timers anymore in that photo.
Dan, thanks for the great work down there in Orlando. Continued success and have some fun.
Yeah, thank you. It's a nice day. A little windy today, so I chose to come inside on the Twitch stream. But, yeah, it's beautiful to be down here, and hopefully we'll get some more intel before the week's up.